Welcome to the SOAP video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are working through, and we're starting a new book, actually. Right. We finished a short book. We're going into, not a semi-short, but a semi-short book. We are going into what is one of my, almost my favorite, how do I say that?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. This is almost my favorite
book.
Book of the New Testament.
Okay, so now that it's qualified, what is your favorite book of the New Testament? Starts with an M?
Yeah. Matthew's my favorite gospel. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to Paul's letters, I really think Ephesians just takes it.
Yeah, for me.
I was showing you that if you your finger oils on the edges of the pages. My pages of Ephesians are pretty dirty because of the amount of time I've spent in Ephesians.
Okay, so here's my Ephesians story. Okay. So when I first started studying the Bible, it was in college, and a Bible study group with a bunch of guys. Most of us hadn't been in the Bible very much, and actually was writing in the Bible, which was like, ooh.
Some people do and some people don't.
Right, you know, which is really weird the first time you do it.
Yeah.
And we started with Ephesians, and I remember the guy who was leading said, you know, this is a treasure chest. And I remember writing treasure chest on it.
That's awesome.
But I didn't get why. No, you know, at the time, it was really the first book. And really for people out here, the point is you really need to take your time, especially with chapter one.
Yeah.
It's like cheesecake.
Ooh, yeah. I don't like cheesecake.
I know, you don't like cheesecake, but everybody else will get this.
Everybody else.
Yeah, when you have that first piece of cheesecake, it's great. It's awesome. So you go back for that second piece of cheesecake, and it's okay. And then if you're faithful, you got to go for that third piece of cheesecake, and you realize it's one too many.
Yeah.
And just the amount.
Yeah.
And the same deal here from a reading standpoint. Make sure to read it slow and digest it versus gulping.
Okay.
In this section, and it definitely helps.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. We're going to spend 3 weeks in here. There's six chapters, not exactly 2 weeks per chapter, sort of close, just because of the length of the chapters. But Ephesians, you're right. I mean, it is a treasure chest. Yeah. What he said. There's a wealth of stuff in Ephesians. Ephesians and Colossians are sort of like sister books.
Right. So were they letter written at the same time?
Yeah. So Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Philemon are all called the prison epistles.
Why would that be?
Yeah. They were written, Paul wrote them while he was in under house arrest in Rome.
So this is the first time he was under arrest, right?
No, well, not first the first time under arrest, but first time in Rome.
Yeah.
Versus
being shackled to a guard.
Yeah, well, yeah, he probably was at the guard under house arrest. He had been imprisoned possibly in Ephesus. He'd been imprisoned in Philippi. He'd been imprisoned down in Caesarea on the Mediterranean coast.
Right.
So a couple of different places. But this was his first time in Rome. And we're in Acts 28. It's the end of Acts.
He had appealed to Caesar. And also, off to Rome you'll go.
Right, yeah. Right. So we've got Ephesians and Colossians, which are very similar. Philippians, where he's expecting that he's going to get out soon, so probably toward the end of that period. And then Philemon, because one of Philemon's slaves had escaped, worked his way toward Rome, and somehow ended up finding Paul. Yeah. Got saved. Paul sent him back with this letter.
What was one?
Onesimus. Yeah, Onesimus. Okay. So Ephesians and Colossians, if you were to read them side by side, you would get a lot of this. It looks like he's just sort of repeating himself in a lot of ways, because the theme is really similar. It's about Christ and the church. Christ is the head, the church is the body.
Right.
But he comes at it from two different angles, whereas Colossians focuses more on Christ as the head, and we have a body. Ephesians says, let's focus on the church as the body, and we have a head. That has a head.
Yeah.
So it's very practical. There's, but it's also doctrinally rich.
Right.
I mean, just
right. That's what I'm serious about, taking it slow.
Yeah.
So we even see that today. So you said six chapters. The first three kind of lay out doctrinal issues. The last three more on application.
Yep.
And then today we find out, or at least in chapter one, we find out it's what salvation is right off the bat.
Yeah.
We have the Trinity in there.
Yeah.
Everybody's job.
I love
in
that.
There. And then the second part is what the church.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. So we'll do this week. We'll do chapters one and two, and a little bit into three.
Right.
So I mean, let's start off right away. Verses in chapter one, verses 3 through 14, is a long sentence. One sentence in Greek. It's one long sentence. And it does. It breaks down into verses 3 through 6 are the Father, 7 through 12 are the Son, 13 and 14 are the Holy Spirit and their role in salvation.
Yeah, it's very cool. What are they doing? So you can see. Just take it easy. It's not bad. It's not a hard read.
No,
but just take it slow.
Yeah,
and savor it.
Yeah, yeah. We get some really, some huge theological concepts. Forgiveness, redemption, adoption, administration or dispensation is in here. The fullness of times, just tons of stuff. I love verse 13. When you heard the word of truth, that is the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in Christ, you were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Immediately at belief, immediately at salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
And so one of the great... One of the awesome
man. Somebody's excited.
I love Ephesians, man.
Okay, so I got a question for you. So Paul is writing this to the church at Ephesus, mm-hmm. which is in present day Turkey. Is that right? Asia Minor?
Yep. And way on the western coast.
Exactly.
Yeah, way on the western coast of modern day Turkey. Yeah.
Right.
City itself doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
It's a ruins. There's a city nearby called Izmir. Which is sort of like the new Ephesus, but the ruins of Ephesus are still there. Yeah.
And then this shows up again in Revelation.
Yeah.
Right? So John writes a letter to, it's Jesus' letter that John's dictating, to seven churches.
Right.
And this happens to be the second church.
First.
Right? Yeah. Was it the first church?
The first one. Okay. It starts at Ephesus, and you can actually watch the map and go around. Yeah.
Right. In that letter, most everybody's getting criticized. And this church gets criticized because they lost their first love.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is, did Paul see it during his time where they were losing their first love, which was their love for Jesus?
Yeah. What's interesting is that I'm not going to answer that
quite
yet. What's interesting is the very last verse of Ephesians says, grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Yeah, so and did he know, or are we just reading too much into
30 years later, Jesus writes us a letter that says,
You forgot your first love.
You've lost your first love.
Right.
And Paul says, don't go there.
Right, so...
It was to the elders in Acts 20. It was to the elders of the church at Ephesus that Paul said, watch for false teachers rising up from within your own ranks, the elders in Ephesus, because false teachers are going to rise up, not just from the church, but from within your own ranks, and they're going to try to destroy. And so I think these false teachers came in and, you know, like we saw in 2 Timothy, just started seducing people away.
Right.
And so you've got Acts 20, it's going to happen, Ephesians 6, don't let it happen, and then Revelation 2,
It happened.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Yep. So in Ephesians 1, we do... Oh, by the way, you said it's written to the church at Ephesus, right?
Maybe.
Fun fact. There's in verse chapter 1, verse 1, it says to the saints in Ephesus, but in a lot of Bibles, that'll be bracketed or footnoted or something, because in Ephesus... That phrase, in Ephesus, is not in all of the manuscripts. And so it's possible that this was actually meant to be a circular letter, sort of like the Revelation, where it was going to go church to church. Yeah.
And there's some support for that, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Other support is a lot of the letters that we see from Paul, he names specific people.
Right.
But if this letter was going around to other churches, those names wouldn't right. have any meaning, so there's no names here.
Well, which is really odd, because Ephesus is where Paul spent the most time right. than in any other city. He spent upwards to 3 years in Ephesus.
Right.
Don't tell me he didn't know anybody.
Right. Exactly.
He would have had lots of... I mean, you look at Romans 16, he had never been to Rome yet, and he listed off all these names. Here, he's writing a church supposedly to Ephesus where he spent 3 years, and not a single person is addressed by name.
Right. Yeah, kind of...
That seems really odd.
That way,
yeah, right. It's definitely out of character. Another thing is when we go to Colossians, and remember I said there's a lot of overlap.
Right.
Colossians, at the end of Colossians, he says, make sure that you pass this letter along and that you get the one from Laodicea and read that too. Now, Laodicea
right.
is the last seventh church yeah. in the list in Revelation. So, what if, maybe, this one was sent to also to the seven churches or whatever. It stopped at Laodicea, which was close by Colossae, and Paul knew that that was going to happen and said, make sure you switch.
Oh, nice. I mean, there are similar things twice, but different.
Right. And that's definitely speculation. Yeah. There's no way to prove that, but there's a lot of opportunity, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we're kind of jumping all over the place here.
Yeah, I get that way sometimes.
Yeah, which is fine. We went through, I mean, we could stay all day in chapter one if we wanted to. How about chapter two?
Well, you mentioned the second half of chapter one, he goes from salvation to the church. So that's
right.
starts to bring in the body of Christ. So that's important. Chapter two is another great chapter. breaks down into two sections, verses 1 through 10 and then 11 through 22. And 1 through 10 contains some of the best verses in, I would say, in the whole Bible. Honestly, yeah. So some people will know verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the work of God, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Right.
Many people may know verse 10 as well. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do. Some people will know maybe verses 1 through 3. But I like the transition from 3 to 4. It's my favorite thing in the world. Because in verses 1 through 3, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were energized by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that controls the sons of disobedience and energizes them. And you were by nature children of wrath. That's not the whole three verses. I'm just quoting. You were by nature children of wrath. And in Greek, it's sort of, there's an ellipsis there, dot, dot, dot. He just sort of trails off.
Right.
And then verse 4, but God.
Yeah.
It's like, boom! But God.
You were dead. Nothing could happen. Nothing was going to save you.
But God.
But God. Right.
That is the best transition. Those are the best two words in the entire Bible. But God. Everything leading up to Ephesians 2:4 reminds us of sin, tells us about sin. There's the law. But God. I mean, that's the cross right there. Right. And then we get in the second half. And he addresses Gentiles specifically, and he comes back to that whole concept. He's like, you were alienated from Israel, you had no Messiah, you had no covenants, you had no promises, you had no hope. In fact, you were, and he uses the word atheos, where we get atheist, you were without God in this world,
right?
But now, in Christ, we have hope, we have peace, we are reconciled, we have all this stuff. And so he does this sort of twice in the first half and then again right. in the second half. The first half he's talking about individual salvation. The second half he's talking about the church.
Right. Okay, nice. And then we go a little way into chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 14?
13.
So why are we continuing in chapter 3?
Just because of the ease of breaking it out into 3 weeks of readings. Okay. Not enough.
Two would have been easier.
Well, at the end of two would have been, but then you would have definitely been cramming a lot of reading in, and you wouldn't have had time to daily reading. So he, in chapter 3, he mentions the fact that he's a prisoner.
Right.
And he says some really neat things, that there is a mystery or a secret that was not disclosed previously in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But is being finally revealed now.
So was it first revealed to Paul, as far as we know?
Well, this particular piece of it, I think, was first revealed to Paul. Because the secret, the mystery, is the church. All right? Well, the church has been in existence for 30 years now, by the time Paul wrote this. Right. Right, almost 30 years. So that's not a secret. It's not like, right, you know, they've been wandering around for 30 years not knowing what they were doing. They were learning, there's no doubt. But the concept of Jews and Gentiles together, equal in the church, one body, Gentiles being able to come near without having to join Israel, Israel being able to come to God without more sacrifices, without all of this stuff. Right. Yeah, just through Christ. That's something that they were still wrestling with. They were still trying to figure out. And finally it was revealed systematically to Paul, and it was one of his jobs is to roll
it out.
Take
that forward.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. He talks about, he does say it was revealed to the apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. Namely, verse 6, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. This is not new in Ephesians 3, but he's sort of systematizing it, putting it out in Ephesians 3. He's a servant of this. I love verse 10. The purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be disclosed to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. God actually has the church on display to the angels, both good and bad,
right,
to prove his wisdom, to prove his multifaceted, multidimensional wisdom.
So we got a lot to look up to.
So I'm looking around thinking, are we the best display? But that's what he chose. There's no plan B.
Yeah.
The church is it. Not only are we supposed to make disciples in the world, but even to these angels and these things that we can't see, we're supposed to be displaying
God's wisdom. Even heavenly realms is...
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think if there's one takeaway, it's somebody's excited about Ephesians, which is a great thing.
Yeah. When I was making up the card, I'm like, what? Only 3 weeks?
Oh, how do I get this to 5?
Yeah. Do a whole card. We're going to read 3 verses a day.
Yeah. Right.
There is a lot of doctrine. There's a lot of rich doctrine. You know, when we talk about the path and why we read and you know, soap includes an application in there. Sometimes application is not just what should I do about it, right? But what am I supposed to know? And this section definitely has some do, you know.
Right.
We're his workmanship, created to do good works. We're supposed to share the gospel, for by grace you've been saved, you know. But some of it, it's just like, let's soak in the richness of the truth of who God is, how he works, why he does what he does. Because there are some, we don't always get that question answered, why?
Right.
But a couple of times in here we do.
Yeah. And I think next week we'll get more into the application.
Yes.
You know, what do I do with this information?
Yeah, next week. So chapter 4 is such a long chapter that we'll finish up chapter 3, which is just, the last part of chapter 3 is a prayer. And it's another one of those long sentences. And one of Paul's, if you've never done this study before, you might find it really interesting to just go through Paul's letters and look at all of his prayers. who he prays for, how he prays for them, what he says, that sort of thing. So we'll start with one of Paul's prayers, and then we'll just do chapter 4, okay. Which is, again, doctrinally rich, but it's very practical as well.
Yeah. I think that's reading commentaries. That was the key point that came out, how practical this letter still is, that even though it's 2,000 years later, it still applies, yeah. And it's always applied. Because it's general and not specific to specific people or right. or things that have happened.
Yeah, and we will start to see a lot of that next week, and then the third week as yeah. well. We'll see that.
Cool.
The third week we'll get into some of people's favorite things like the armor of God and yeah. and that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. So, well, good place to stop for yep. today.
Hopefully this was helpful to you, beneficial. Hopefully you're at least a fraction excited. a fraction of what I am, at least, and this is really great. If you have questions, comments, make sure that you send those in. We'd be happy to answer questions, and we'd love to hear your comments, and make sure you share this with different people. As you find it helpful, they will as well. See you next time.
Bye.